I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Amos, please. The book of Amos, and it may take you a minute or two to find it. Don't be ashamed to look up in the front if you need to. And if you need some help, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Amos. And that might help some of you out there. But I want to read a little bit out of the book of Amos tonight. Lord, put this message on my heart. And like to give you what God's put on my heart. Amos chapter number 7, please. Amos chapter number 7. It's good to see so many friends tonight. Brother Huffman, good to see you back here, brother. I love you, Brother Tim. And good to see you and other folks. We've got to meet along the way. Now, I'm originally from Georgia, so y'all just have to pray for me. And I appreciate y'all letting me be here. Amen. So some of you I'm still trying to meet. I've only been here in North Carolina just a couple years, 5 years now, I guess. Well, that's been long enough to meet y'all, I guess. I don't know what my problem is, but I appreciate those that I've gotten to meet along the way since we've been here, and folks just been so nice to us and gracious to us and just took us in. Brother Rick was one of them first preachers we got to meet here and in the state of North Carolina, just been such a good friend and so kind to us, and we appreciate that. And I just appreciate the Lord's people. Isn't it good just to get together and worship the Lord together? I'm glad we're not in this thing alone, aren't you? I tell you that what the devil likes to do, he likes to lie to us, don't he? Tries to tell us, you're all by yourself. Ain't nobody else serving God. You're just a fanatic. Ain't nobody else like you. Well, look around. There's a bunch of other crazy folks like you in here tonight. And crazy for Jesus. And I'm glad we got some friends along the way. That sure is a blessing. Amen. Well, I've given you plenty of time to find the book of Amos. If you're not there, just stare intelligently at whatever page you may be on. And nobody will ever know that you can't find Amos. Chapter number 7. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 7. Amos chapter 7, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, said to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive, out of their own land. Also Amaziah saith to Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity, captivity forth of his land." I want to stop reading right there, and I want you to keep your Bible open as we'll reference this passage throughout the message. I heard a story the other day about young pastor that took a church in Kentucky. And this young preacher became pastor here and a pastor there of that church in Kentucky. And his first Sunday as pastor, he gets up and he rears back and he began to preach like his hair was on fire. And he preached a whole message about the dangers of tobacco and about smoking. And he let them have it, about smoking pipes and cigarettes and cigars. And he told them they were all needed to get right with God if that's what they were doing. and he just let him have it for a good hour, preached on smoking. Well, when he got done, one of the deacons met him at the back door and said, "Pastor, we appreciate your zeal." He said, "But I just thought you ought to know probably about a third of this church smokes. And some of them even make their living off of tobacco crops and things like that. You know, you might ought to just kind of tone it down, preaching on smoking a little bit. It may ruffle a few feathers around here." Well, the young preacher didn't want to ruffle any feathers. He wanted to be there and wanted to stay there and didn't really want to make anybody mad. So he decided maybe he'll just kind of stay away from that topic for a little while. He got up from on the next Sunday, and he had prepared a whole message and preached a whole message on the dangers of alcohol and drinking. And he preached against whiskey, and he preached against wine, and he preached against liquor, and he preached against homebrew, and he preached against all of it. And he just let it like his hair was on fire. Well, that deacon met him at the door that Sunday on his way out and said, "Pastor," he said, I think you might ought to know something. I think you ought to know that about a third of our church, makes a living in selling alcohol and running some stills and different things. And, you know, you might ought to just kind of tone it down a little bit on drinking. You might make some folks mad around here. We don't want to split the church. You've only been here a couple weeks. And, you know, you don't want to ruffle any feathers." And that young preacher said, "Well, I guess he's right. I don't want to make anybody mad. Definitely don't want to split the church. I've only been here a couple weeks, and I like having a place to preach." And so, you know, he decided he'd just leave that alone. Well, the next Sunday he got up, and he his hair was on fire, preached against gambling. And, just let him have it. And every bit of it. Well, that same deacon met him at the door again, said, "Preacher, you know this is Kentucky. A lot of our folks make their living these horse races and gambling and things. And you might ought to just tone it down just a little bit." Well, that young preacher got a little frustrated and didn't know what to do. He didn't want to split the church and didn't want to ruffle any feathers or anything. And so he really thought and meditated on it. Well, he got up that next Sunday, and the title of his message was this. He preached on the dangers of deep sea diving in international waters. And that was his message. And everybody said amen, and they really liked it real good. And he had a long ministry right there. The dangers of deep sea diving in international waters. I don't know if you know it or not, but pastors and preachers today are under pressure to preach what makes people feel good instead of what thus saith the Lord. If you got a preacher that rears back and preaches what the Bible says and doesn't give a rip about your feelings or doesn't give a rip about how you're living or how much you're giving, you ought to thank God for that right there. We live in a day when men of God want to get up, or so-called men of God want to get up and tickle everybody's ears, and it's almost like they're trying to win a popularity contest instead of preaching the blessed word of God, just like God wrote it in His word. And I'm going to tell you what, Amos was in a similar situation here. If you were tracking along and following along as I read the text tonight, he was in a similar situation. And we all identify with the pressure and from society that it is, they not just preachers, but on everybody that names the name of Christ. They want us to, well, just kind of tone down what you believe. And, well, if that's what you believe, that's fine, but ain't no use of telling everybody about it and trying to make everybody uncomfortable and feel bad about it. Just tone it down just a little bit. Amos was under such pressure in our text here tonight. We don't know a lot about the prophet Amos. Everything that we know about the prophet Amos, we find from the book that bears his name. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Word of God, nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere else in any other book of the Bible, just in this book. But here's what we do know about this man of God by the name of Amos. He was a shepherd. He was a farmer. And he was from a small village about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. A little village called Tekoa is where he was from. He ministered in the days of Jonah and Hosea and Isaiah, and probably somewhere between 760 and 750 BC, probably about 150 years after the kingdom had been divided. If you know the history of the kingdom of Israel, you'll know that it was divided, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and wickedness had prevailed in both territories at this point. And he was called of God. He's from Judah, from the southern kingdom, but he was called of God almost like a missionary to go to another land, to go away from his homeland and preach what thus saith the Lord. And so he did. He left his place there in Judah and he went north. He traveled north to the northern tribes, and we would call that Israel. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. And he went to Israel where a man by the name of Jeroboam, not the original king of Israel, but Jeroboam the second. This was 150 years after the first Jeroboam. He was called to preach to them and declare the word of the Lord. Now, Israel was experiencing great political prosperity, great economic prosperity, but yet they were in great spiritual decline and spiritual decay. Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? God has blessed this land economically and blessed this land politically. We have, I guess we're the greatest, most powerful nation on this planet. We have money and we have prosperity. The poorest among us live better than the richest in other countries. I've traveled abroad. I've been to Europe and Central America and places and seen people living in huts with dirt floors and all kind of things. And the people in America that say they're poor, they're not poor like folks living in other places. God has blessed us militarily and politically and economically. But you'd have to agree with me tonight, spiritually, we're not doing very good. Spiritually, we're sick. I mean, morally, there is decay in our country. Sin is rampant. Sin is not just committed. It is paraded down the streets of our nation. It is promoted and it is cheered on and cheered for like it is a good thing. Spiritually, we're sick. Well, that's exactly where Israel was in these days. And God sent a man of God. By the way, that's not the judgment of God. The judgment of God is not when God sends a man of God to preach against your sin. That's the mercy of God is what that is. The judgment of God is if he sent no preacher. You ought to thank God for a man of God that'll get up and step on your toes. You ought to thank God for a man of God that'll get up and preach on sin. And Amos was such a man of God. He was called to cry out against the sin of Israel and to warn them about judgment that was to come. There were many sins in Israel in that day. The main ones were a lack of true justice. There was immorality in the government. Sin and crime was being winked at, and there was just corruption. We can obviously identify with that. One of the greatest sins of Israel is that worship had not ceased, but it had turned into false worship and turned into ritualistic worship. As we go across the southeast, there's a church on every corner. Worship has not ceased in America, but it has become ritualistic. It's become formality. We come in, we sing the songs, we hear the message, but it doesn't mean anything to us. It doesn't stir us anymore. It doesn't thrill us anymore. I think it was G. Campbell Morgan that said that being backslid, I believe it was him, if not another great man of God, said that being backslid is one of the greatest forms of blasphemy that there is. He says, because being in a backslid condition tells God that, I believe you're real, but you just don't excite me anymore. And I believe we've come to that place, haven't we, where we believe God's real. Nobody, I don't think, would stand up in here tonight and say, I don't believe in God. But we'd all have to be honest when we say that God probably doesn't thrill us like he ought to anymore. We'll come in, we'll sit on the pew, we'll go through the motion, and that's exactly what was going on. They were bringing the sacrifices, they were bringing in the offerings and celebrating the feast days, but it did not mean anything anymore. In fact, if you'll go to chapter 5, look at verse number 21 just very quickly. Here's what God had to say through the prophet Amos about their worship. Chapter 5, verse 21, he said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. That's like an instrument. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. And we could keep on reading, but I want you to know here. You know what God said? He said, I'd rather you not even come to church. Don't even have church at all if you're going to have it and not really worship me in your heart. I believe in some ways that God would rather us just shut our mouth than to get up and just sing out of routine and out of habit. I believe the offerings that God desires is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We ought to get up and we ought to preach with and sing and testify and worship and give. You know what kind of giver God loves? He loves a cheerful giver. He loves a kind that it does it out of a heart of love and a heart of gratitude. And these people, they were worth. They hadn't quit worshiping. They hadn't quit going to church. But they quit going for the right reasons. God said, I hate it. I hate it. God sent a man of God to cry against it. I want to say preaching against sin has never been popular. Never has been. Never will be. I want you to notice a few things in this text. And I'll give you my title in a minute. Just kind of give you a big introduction. Just a little message here. Put a big porch on this thing. Just a couple things by way of introduction here. First of all, I want you to notice the proclamation in our text. The proclamation. Well, Amos has been preaching all these chapters, but we jumped in verse number 7 of chapter 7. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. That was the proclamation. That was the message of Amos. The message of Amos was that judgment is on the way. He saw that plumb line. And if you know what a plumb line is, you may not. All that is just a line that's used to keep things square. And when you're building a building, and it's used to keep things square and it's used to keep things straight. Pretty much what God was saying is, here's the line, here's the measurement, here's where you need to be. Everybody needs to line up right here. By the way, what we're trying to do in these days is we're trying to bring God down to man's level. We want to bring God down to measure up with what we think God ought to be, when God has never been that way. He said, I am the Lord God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't care what your opinion is. God has never ask any man about their opinion. He don't care what you think about anything. Amen. That's exactly right. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is a God that says, here's the line. Here's where you need to be. Now, I'm not going to come down to where you're at. You measure up to where I am. If you and God disagree about anything, He's not the one that needs to change. You're the one that needs to change. Amen. He said, here's the plumb line. Here's the measurement right there. Now you change. You repent. You turn from your sin and get where you need to be. That's the proclamation. We're the ones that need to change to meet God's standards. It's not the other way around. That's the proclamation. Well, look at the problem with me, if you will. Verse number 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. Now, what's amazing, you know who gave Amos most of the problems that he had? It wasn't the worldly crowd. It was Amaziah, the priest, the so-called preacher. It was that so-called religious crowd. Amen. The problem was, is they did not like what Amos was preaching. They did not like when he said, thus saith the Lord, and God's going to judge you, and God is going to send judgment if you don't get right. They felt like, listen, it's amazing. Look what he said. He said, Amaziah went and run and told the king. He said, Amos hath conspired against you. He said, Amos is preaching against you, King Jeroboam. Isn't it amazing how people feel like the preacher's against them when they're the ones that are guilty of what the preacher's preaching against? Preacher's not against you. He's against sin. But now if your phone's ringing, you can pick it up. If the shoe fits, you can put it on. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. And he said the land's not able to bear it. He said his preaching is against you and it's unbearable. We just can't stand it anymore. I'll tell you who preaching against sin makes uncomfortable. It makes uncomfortable those that are living in sin. Preaching against sin will only make you uncomfortable if you are guilty. Amen and amen. When the preacher gets up and preaches a good strong message against sin, if you're the one that meets him at the back door and says, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, that little joke I told at the beginning, that deacon, he was probably a smoking, drinking, gambling deacon is probably what he was. Amen. He's probably guilty of every bit of it. And you throw a rock and a pack of dogs on the one that yelps. Yeah, that's the one that got hit right there. He said, we got a problem here. We don't like what this preacher is preaching on. He's against us. We can't bear it anymore. Well, we see the proclamation. We see the problem. Well, let me show you this. There's a proposition. They give a proposition to the man of God. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there, and prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, it's the king's court. You know what he said right there? He said, Amos, why don't you just go back home? Nobody likes you. Nobody likes what you're preaching. Nobody likes anything you're saying. Why don't you just go back? Listen, you're not even from around here. Just go back to Judah. Go back home. And listen, we're not telling you to stop preaching, Amos. You don't have to quit preaching. You just got to quit preaching here. Just go back home. Eat you some bread. You sound like you're a little hungry. You know, maybe that's why you're in a bad mood all the time, Amos. You just need to sit down and have a good meal. And maybe you'd calm down just a little bit. Quit preaching against everybody and act like everything's wrong and everything's bad and in judgments on the way. You know, in Jeremiah's day, there were those that were going around preaching peace and preaching happiness and happy things. And isn't that what people want? They just want their ears scratched and want to make everybody feel good. And when you leave out of church, you know, you learn, you don't hear anything about sin and anything about what's wrong and what's right, but you know, you learn how to lose 10 pounds and learn how to balance your checkbook and those kind of just things that are happy things and make everybody happy. And I'm going to tell you what, you may need to lose 10 pounds to balance your checkbook. I know I probably need to do a little bit of both, just to be honest about it. But I tell you what I need. I need Bible preaching is what I need. And so do you. We all need that Bible. I said, Amos, just go back home. Nobody, listen, why don't you just go back home? Don't quit preaching, but just quit preaching around here. And look what he said. He said, for it's the king's chapel. He said, look, this church, it's not your church. This is the king's church. Isn't it amazing how some people think the church belongs to them? Anything I said, it's my church. It's my church. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, hey, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Listen, True Gospel Baptist Church doesn't belong to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Walters Grove Baptist Church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that bought and paid for it with his own blood. Amen. It's his church. I think if it's his church, we ought to preach his message in his church. If it's his church, we ought to preach what he wants us to say in the church. But it's amazing. There's always that group of people in every church. They think it's there. They've been there 150 years, and they got ancestors buried in the cemetery, and they think it belongs to them. And so if the preacher does something that, you know, it just rubs the cat the wrong way, they're gonna confront them, and they, because they think it's there. They think they can control the preacher. I'm telling you what, and I'm not trying to be the arrogant young preacher. I'm just a young man, but I'm telling you something. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I've never had this problem in my church, so I'm not preaching out of problem in my church. My folks ag it on, you know, they like me preaching hard and preaching against sin. Now they don't always do something with it, but they like me preaching on it, amen. They can take hard preaching. They can take it real good. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you something. Listen, we I don't even know what I was saying, but that was pretty funny a second ago. We ought to be thankful. We got a man of God that'll preach the word of God. It doesn't belong to him. It don't belong to that preacher, and it don't belong to a family in the church. Listen, the church ought not to be like the barbecue restaurant up the road, family owned and operated. Amen. Right. Amen. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I was saying something about, I'm not trying to be the arrogant young preacher up here, but what I'm saying is when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to this pulpit ministry and at my church and wherever church you go to, you better leave your preacher alone is what you ought to do. You better leave him alone and let him preach what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. I let people give opinions on whatever they want to give opinions on at our church. That's absolutely fine. But when it comes to this pulpit right here and what's preaching this pulpit, that's between me and God right here. And as long, now if I get outside the Bible, I hope somebody will tackle me. Amen. But as long as I'm standing in that book right there, whether it, if it rubs the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around. Amen. Just turn it around. Just get right with God. Proposition was go somewhere else. And then I want you to notice this, and this is where I'm going to be for the next few minutes. And I'm pretty much done, but this is what's on my heart. I want you to notice that proclamation, the problem, the proposition, was for him to just go back home. But I want you to see the preacher. I want to focus on Amos just for a minute. I want you to see this preacher. Look what he said. I love his answer. Verse 14, 15. I want to show you this and I'm done. I'm going to say that. I love his answer. He said, then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now, I want you to underline two little words. It's the same word, actually, so a little word that appears twice. I want you to look up verse number 12 real quick. So also Amaziah saith unto Amos, here's what Amaziah said to Amos. He said, O thou seer, he said, go. I want you to underline that little word, go. You know, he said, Amos, just go home. Amos, you don't need to be here. You're just making everybody mad around here. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Just go back home. Eat your bread there. Preach down there. This isn't your church. This isn't your land. This isn't your place. You ain't got no place. You ain't got no business being here. Amos, just go. Just go. But I want you to notice what Amos said. Look in verse number 15. He said, the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, what did he say? He said, go. You know why Amos didn't go? Because he had already went. Amen. He had and I want to preach on this just for a few minutes, just for 2 or 3 minutes before I sit down. I want to preach on this. I've got a greater go. I can't go. This world says, just hush up and sit down and be quiet. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I've already got a greater go. The world says, go home and just sit down and shut up. We don't want your Bible. We don't want your Jesus. We don't want your sin, preaching against sin. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't shut up and I can't sit down. And I can't stop and I can't quit and I can't compromise. And I can't back up because God's already told me to go. I've got a greater go. I got a greater go. Let me give you these things. I'm going to sit down. Number one, I want to say this. I got a greater master. I got it. And I know the king told him to shut up and sit down. I know that priest under the king's authority said, you need to just go back home. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't fear what this world has to say. I got a greater king in heaven. Amos told Amaziah, he said, you're not going to be able to obey the king's command. He said, I'm not going to be able to obey the king's command. I know he wants me to go back home. I know he wants me to shut up, but I can't do what the king told me to do, because here's what Amos said. He said, there's a greater king in my life. He said, I got a greater master. Yeah, Jeroboam may sit on the throne here in Israel, and he may have a lot of money, and he may have a lot of military power, and he may have a lot of authority here in this land. He said, but I'm getting my orders from another headquarters. He said, I'm getting my orders from another land. I'm getting my orders from a greater king and a greater master. And I'm going to tell you what, friend, it's so easy to get your eyes on this world and be afraid of people and be afraid of a worldly system and be afraid of the God of this world. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, we got a greater master in heaven. We got the king. I love this. Look at verse number 15. Look what in his testimony. He said, look, I wasn't a prophet. He said, I wasn't even a son of a prophet. He said, my daddy wasn't even a prophet. He said, I was just a shepherd. I was just a herdman. I was a farmer. I gathered sycamore fruit. And look what he said in verse 15. He said, and the Lord took me. You can just underline that right there. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not my own tonight. I've been bought with a price. Listen, long before I ever met any of you guys, the Lord took me a long time ago. Whew, hallelujah. Man, I was just an 11-year-old boy. I was just 11 years old, and the Lord called me to preach. I remember it. Sometimes I've doubted whether I was saved, but for some reason I've never doubted if I was called to preach or not. I don't know how that works, but I know for a fact God has called me and God has put me where I'm at. And listen, whether they like it or whether they lump it or whether they say amen or whether they make mean faces in the pew, listen, it don't bother me at all, because God called me a long time ago. Listen, I already made up my mind long before I ever met anyone of y'all. If you're with me, that's great. If you say amen, that's great. If you smile, that's great. But if you say, why don't you just sit down and shut up and quit it? Listen, that's fine too. I'll just go somewhere else and preach, because God called me. He took me. I don't even belong to myself anymore. God took me. I don't even have control over my life and my ministry. I pastored in Georgia for several years. And you know what God did? God picked me up and he put me where I'm at. And I plan on staying where I'm at for a good while if the Lord will let me. But you know what? God may pick me up and put me somewhere else tomorrow. That's his business. Listen, I'm ready to stay for 40 years. I'm ready to leave tomorrow. Amen. Because God is in control. You better mark it down in your life. You better go ahead and make the decision now, whether it's popular or not. Paul told Timothy, said, whether it's in season or whether it's out of season, he said, just preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all authority. Amen. And it's not authority that comes from in here. It's not any intrinsic authority that I have. It's authority that comes from another land. I get my orders from headquarters. Amen. It's not a denominational headquarters. It's not a deacon board headquarters. Hey, listen, it's not Washington, D.C. headquarters. Listen, I get my orders from a heavenly headquarters. Amen. I got a greater master. I got a greater master. I'll tell you what we need more than anything. We need a group of people in this day that'll have a greater loyalty to God than they do to this world. Our loyalty, listen, should be, listen, let me tell you why, and I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I got a little mean streak in me tonight for some reason. I don't know why, but you can ask my folks. I usually preach pretty sweet, and I'm pretty nice, but y'all got me riled up tonight for some reason. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I can't be loyal to anybody in here. I'm going to tell you why I can't be loyal to anybody, any some kind of head, you know, governmental authority, denominational authority. I'm going to tell you why, and I don't mean this mean tonight, but I mean this from the depths of my heart, though. You didn't save me. You didn't call me. You didn't save me from hell. He did. You didn't put me where I'm at. He did. Amen. Amen. He's the one that saved me. Oh, Amos said, look, I was just minding my own business. I was going on. I was following the sheep, and I was working for Daddy, and I was just a farmer. He said, I was just minding my own business, and the Lord, He took me. He just grabbed me up. He snatched me. That's how I feel. I was on my way to hell one day, and God came by where I was, and He took me, and he picked me up. And I want to tell you what, I've just made up my mind that because He saved me, I'm going to give every single day of my life to Him. I'm going to give it all to Him. Listen, you didn't save me. You didn't call me. You didn't take me. If it was up to you, I'd still be on my way to hell. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that took me, and I've just made up my mind I'm just going to serve Him. I'm like that old slave over in the book of Exodus where his time's up and he can go. But Exodus, I think it's chapter 21, says that he can say, I just love my master and I'm going to just be his and I'm going to belong to him. Everything good in my life, that old slave can, you know, he can leave, but whatever was given to him while he was with that master, that's what he's got to leave there. He can only take what he brought in, and that's it. That old slave looks around and say, man, I got this wife and I got these children and man, I got a good place to live. Every good thing in my life has come from my master. And when his time's up, he can hit the door and he can run away. That old slave says, no, I think I'll just stay right here. I got it pretty good right here. I love my master and I love working for him. And he's done nothing but good to me. And I think I'm just going to serve him all day. That's how I feel about Jesus tonight. I'll tell you what, the devil, he's a cruel taskmaster, but I'm glad we got a God in heaven said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Amen. Learn of me. My burden's easy and my burden's light. And I'm glad one day I got in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking for a hole out of this. Listen, I'm glad to be saved tonight. Amen. My loyalty is to Him because of what He's done. He's the one that took me, saved me from hell. I got a greater master. That's why I got to obey that greater go. I got a greater master. Number two, I'm hurrying along. Let me say this. I got a greater mandate. I got a greater mandate. Well, God gave Amos real specific instruction. Look at verse 15. The Lord took me, so I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Everything that Amos said, it was not of himself. It was of the God that called him. It wasn't his instructions. It wasn't his message. It wasn't what come out of his heart, his brain. It was what come from the very mouth of God. And I want to tell you something, friend. God gave Amos a specific message, and God's given us a specific message right here. And I'm going to tell you what, this world tries to tell us what's normal. They try to tell us what's acceptable according to their whim. Listen. Do not build your life on what this world says is right. It changes every year. What's acceptable now won't be acceptable later. What's not acceptable now was acceptable years ago. Listen, that old song says, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Listen, I'm glad we got a word that never changes. We got a word. Build your life on the word of God. Obey the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. Listen, the Lord said, and the Bible says, that's always greater than anything this world says. I like starting sentences off when somebody asks my opinion, or what do you think about this? What do you think about gay marriage? And what do you think about abortion? And what I always like to start out with something like this. Well, God said, the Bible says, it don't matter what the world says, it's what the Bible says. And anything He says is greater than anything this world will ever say. Let's not be ashamed to proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Got a greater master. I got a greater mandate. Let me say this and I'm done. I got a greater motive. Got a greater motive. You know, if you look in verse 16 and 17, I think we read these a little bit ago. Amos gave his testimony there to this priest, Amaziah, this worldly carnal priest. And it wasn't received. And here's what Amos said. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel. Drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, verse 17, he said, because you reject the message. He said, it's not just going to affect the kingdom. He said, it's going to become real personal in your own life, Amaziah. It's going to affect your own household. He said, your wife, she's going to be a harlot. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to fall by the sword. This land that you have so given your life to, it's going to be divided. And then you're going to die in a polluted land. And Israel's going to go away into captivity. He said it's going to affect your family. Can I just say this tonight? When you reject the word of God, you do so at your own demise and at your own peril. I'm going to tell you why I serve God and not this world and not man. Because I'm more afraid of God than I am of man. I am more afraid of what God could do to me than I am of what this world could do to me. I serve God. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Lord tonight. I think I made that plain tonight. I love Jesus. I serve Him because I love Him. No doubt about that. But I also serve Him because I'm afraid of Him. I serve Him because I want to. I serve Him because I love Him. But I serve Him because I'm afraid not to. Amen. Jesus said this in Matthew 10. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I think what we need these days is a healthy fear of God. We need to get to the place where we're more afraid of this. We're more afraid of God, have a healthy, holy fear of God than we do of this world. Most of us, we live our life to, we don't want to be weird. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to make a scene. We don't want to cause a ruckus. We're afraid of what somebody might say. We're afraid, and of course, in the day which we live in, we're not afraid of getting our heads cut off or being put in prison. We're just afraid of somebody maybe saying something mean about us on Facebook. Well, bless your heart. Amen. Somebody may not like you. Somebody may say something mean about you and put it on the internet somewhere. Somebody might think you're weird. I'll tell you where we need to get to. We need to get to the place where we're more concerned about what God thinks about us than we are about what this world thinks about us. Because I'm going to tell you something. One day the tables are going to turn. One day all the crowd that looks popular and looks like they got everything now, it's all going to turn around. They're going to be the... Matthew 7, Jesus said in Matthew 7, it's a broad way that leads to hell. Many are going that way. You don't want... Listen, young person, you don't want to go with the crowd. Crowd's going to hell is where they're going. You better be more afraid of God. I want to tell you, I got a greater motive, and that motive is I want God to be pleased with me. Who are you pleasing? You trying to please this world or are you trying to please God? I'll tell you something, I got a greater go. No matter what this world says, it's already settled in my heart to settle this. Now, I want you to come and go with me. Let's serve God together. But if none go with me, still, I will follow. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd use it in our heart and life. Father, I pray, God, that you'd, Lord, drive it deep in our hearts to serve you and to love you, no matter what the price may be, no matter what the cost may be. Help us to be willing to bear the reproach here. That way we can wear the crown there. Father, I pray that we would have a greater fear, Lord, of you than we do this world, a greater love for you than we do for this world. Lord, detach us from things below and help us to set our affection on things above. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name.